Clare Means Business, a Clare FM exclusive podcast with Josh Prenderville.
You're very welcome to another episode of Clare Means Business. Thanks very much for lending your ear to us for the next while. It appears to be a positive week for business, not just in this county, but elsewhere, as it looks as if, and whisper it quietly now, but we could be reaching the end of this ever so bumpy COVID road that we've been on for the past 2 years or so. That road, of course, hasn't been without its casualties, particularly in the business world. And it is great to see people out and about shopping local still, where possible, in all areas of the county, and fingers crossed that that's one thing that does continue as we approach a post-pandemic world. One area of Clare, like many others of course, that did come together during the pandemic was that of Doom Beg. The local shop, McInerney's, ended up, like so many others, becoming the staple of the community, and it changed the way many operators were forced to do business. With me to chat now is Rita McInerney of McInerney's Shop. Rita, thanks very much for your time. Was the old model of the corner shop then turned on its head because of COVID-19, or has it almost come full circle in terms of it being the real centrepiece of a community?
Well, I suppose we underwent major change, and it was kind of like it just happened that an opportunity came at the same time as the pandemic came for us to move premises and to go into a bigger premises. So we went into a unit that was three times the size of what we currently had. And I suppose it was just quite opportune in that, obviously, when you make an investment and make a move of that scale, you're nervous. But then given the change in shopping patterns, it was kind of an extra incentive to do that move and to make that investment. So it gave us an opportunity to expand and to concentrate on our product offering, and also go into the whole area of food and hot food and that culture that's there. So there definitely was a focus on people shopping local, and I think, you know, the local offering had enhanced over the last number of years anyway. And I think that people were then pleasantly surprised when they were encouraged and had to and were forced in a lot of ways to shop local, that there was a product offering there that met their needs.
Has that been the key in terms of, obviously, business was going well to a certain extent if you were planning on changing premises and upgrading, if you like, to a bigger premises pre-pandemic. But in terms of the survival of those more local outlets and independent outlets that, as you say, they've maybe had to adapt, they've had to expand their offering, as you mentioned there, into the likes of hot food, etc., in order to compete with maybe some of those bigger supermarkets that we see in some of the larger towns.
Yeah, I think it's something that I suppose smaller shops have to niche themselves in a way, because okay, you're not able to compete on everything with price, even though we would see, especially though I think once you're affiliated with a bigger group, it is much easier to compete on as much as you can on price and range. And you know, it's become very professional and very focused now on, you know, we have assistance in you know, the top sellers in the country in terms of, well, as a local store, what are the products you have to sell in each category in order to meet the needs of your customer. So there's a lot of support there from the bigger groups if you're a member of that, and also to differentiate yourself in some way from a big supermarket in terms of the time it takes to do a big shop, or, you know, the weekly shop. And we would, you know, we would see that people will still do their weekly shop, but they might not spend as much time, or they might not go twice or three times a week anymore. They might do one big shop, but then do their top-ups, if you like, in the local store. So they see it as much more use of their time.
There's obviously a social enterprise element to it as well, particularly during the pandemic. You mentioned that obviously people have their habits and they might go shopping once, twice a week, but certainly for a particular age group for quite a long time, although that seems to be maybe changing a little bit now, but for quite a long time during the height of the big lockdowns, we'll say, that the one or two shops trips to the local shop during the week was the only social outlet. And maybe speaking to somebody at the till, how are you getting on? You know, and speaking to somebody who's familiar, because they're likely from their own community as well, by their very nature of where they are, that was a huge element, I suppose, of custom, not only during the pandemic, but it's always kind of been that way. But it's nearly increased or got a bigger part of the offering again now.
Certainly has. I mean, we saw it really like during the pandemic. It was probably the only place that people were meeting each other. Unfortunately, we lost our post office in Dunbeg. So, you know, that was a huge loss for the community. Yeah. Now we do offer a post point service, so we can offer certain things. But that was another huge meeting place for people over the years, for generations. So I suppose you definitely saw it in the shop, and particularly when we were able to move to bigger premises, people were able to stand up and have a conversation 2 meters apart and say, God, I haven't seen you in ages, and how are you getting on? And so even customers were able to talk to each other, either inside or outside, and then, as you say, meeting people at the counter safely, because you had all your screen guards and all of that up. So people felt safe. You had your hand sanitizing, you were distancing, you were separating yourself, but yet you were able to have a conversation. You were able to say what was going on in the community. You were able to, you know, at least interact.
I suppose we're hearing about rising costs all the time in all sectors of the economy and society. I would imagine no more so than when it comes to goods and paying suppliers. And obviously, you know, people delivering have higher fuel costs, all that kind of thing. Do you foresee that becoming a difficulty for particularly local outlets in the next maybe year or two, as inflation continues to go up, etc., that the price of things, because that'll obviously have to filter down to the consumer, not just in local shops, but in any shop?
Yeah, it certainly is a concern. I mean, the transportation cost is a huge concern. You do see things creeping up in terms of cost. Electricity is a huge cost, you know, especially when you're running big machinery and big ovens and things like that. You know, electricity is a huge part of that. You know, you have your resources and your supply in terms of people and your wage costs as well. And I think then, you know, the issue of inflation is something that does need to be focused on and curtailed, because I think there's been a lot of misconception, I think, in relation to how we're doing economically. Yes, we may be taking in a big tax take in terms of the taxation, but I would be hugely concerned about our borrowing as a country and how that could influence our inflation in the future.
When people hear big figures like from the Exchequer, and that's seen as a sign that the economy is going well, but in terms of a village like Dunbeg, you know, do those kind of figures really show, I guess, the reality of how a particular village or a town or an area like West Clare, let's say, is doing? You know, is there almost a disconnect in terms of those two things?
Well, certainly, you know, what the government gave out in terms of supports, particularly around businesses, you know, was really welcomed, and businesses were able to avail of loans at a very competitive interest rate, and that was certainly very welcome. And the things like the EWSS and the schemes that were there for employers was very welcomed. However, in terms of the level of money that is circulating and how it's circulating now, that money is still borrowed elsewhere. And yes, while there might be, you know, a lot of spending went on locally, but however, that tax in terms of where that's coming in and where was got in the first place in terms of the money circulating, I would be concerned about, because it is really about what you're producing and what you're generating as a country. And I suppose from a rural perspective, things like tourism have taken a huge hit. We're very focused on our capital city. We're one of the most reliant countries on our capital for capital city in Europe. I mean, if you look at it, you know, 50% of our GDP is generated in the Dublin area, and it consists of 45% of our population. Now, that was pre-COVID. So I would hope that there's, you know, some sort of change in that. I mean, in other countries, their capital city would account for 20-25% of their population and of their GDP. But we are completely imbalanced as a country in relation to how much we focus on our capital city.
With that in mind, then, how do you look at the future for yourselves as a business, obviously for other local rural businesses as well? I know the county development plan, for example, is quite a topic of conversation at the moment here in Clare, just in terms of, of rural development and people being able to build one-off rural houses and obviously, I suppose, maintain and expand the community, a community like Dunbeg, for example. As a business owner, and I suppose we're all well aware of the current housing crisis that there is anyway, as a business owner, you know, particularly you're relying on the growth and the thriving, if you like, of a village like Dunbeg in order to be successful. What are your own kind of thoughts or views on the future in the next couple of years? Because as I suppose, again, for your business to be successful, the village of Dunbeg and the area of West Clare in general needs to be successful.
Certainly, and I think our number one problem in this country is our planning laws. That's pure and simple. From anybody, from an individual or a family, trying to locate in rural Ireland and build in rural Ireland, to multinationals. We saw what happened in lots of places around the country, including in offshore off the west coast of Clare, in terms of Moneypoint, in terms of development and planning laws, and the frustration that foreign countries have with our foreign companies have with our planning laws, and we as individuals have frustration with our planning laws. So, and the time it takes. And I think there really needs to be an overhaul of our planning legislation. We're relatively lucky in Dunbeg in that we've approval for a further water scheme. We have storage capability within the village. So we're lucky. There are lots of villages in Clare and in West Clare in particular that have no schemes in terms of their wastewater, and they're the communities that will find it very difficult to grow and expand into the future. So we need to invest in that, and we need a complete overhaul of our planning laws with the environment in mind, and to ensure that we limit the impact as much as possible, but yet we allow communities to thrive and grow.
Absolutely. Very much food for thought for the next year and beyond. Rita McInerney of McInerney Shop in Dunbeg, thanks very much for speaking to me on Clare Means Business.
Thanks, Josh.
Great to hear Rita and the team going strong there in Dunbeg. It's a wonderful community back there, of course, in West Clare, as many of you will be very familiar with. Hopefully all small and local shops in this county are continuing in the same vein and emerge from the pandemic even stronger than when they went into it. That certainly seems to be the case across a range of sectors, according to a new report we're going to discuss now, released by FRS Recruitment. Their analysis has found job opportunities in Clare grew by 12% in 2021 and are anticipating further growth here this year. Lynn McCormick is General Manager with FRS Recruitment and is with us. Lynn, thanks for being here. First of all, I guess we're seeing a bounce back in job vacancies across a whole range of areas, but how do we compare here in Clare with the rest of the country?
Clare is exactly aligned with that national average, and in terms of, we've seen a 12% jump in the number of roles that were handled locally in the Clare area. So exactly like for like, but what we're seeing across the economy. So, you know, it's like great in terms of Clare sharing in the wealth of the recovery, and really positive signs for heading into this year too.
Has it been a case of Clare's geographical position that's maybe benefited us in terms of being able to say that we're obviously between two cities in terms of Limerick and Galway? Because I know there are other areas of the country in your analysis, the likes of Donegal and Roscommon, which are maybe a bit more cut off from certain areas. Clare, as I say, is obviously between Galway and Limerick. Is that kind of part of what's enabled that growth and hopefully that continued growth this year?
It would. The geographical, there's two kind of prongs to it, I would say, that really has been a positive and helped Clare, you know, to achieve that kind of growth last year. And definitely the geographical side of things and where you're placed in terms of commuting to exactly like those other counties that you mentioned, where there would be industries like med device and engineering, etc., in Galway. So that definitely has helped. There's an awful lot more of, you know, role mobilization with people working from home as well within different industries. So that would help. But the other side of it, I think Clare has been, you know, it's quite a diverse range of sectors that are set up in the county there. So it's, and luckily enough, you know, unfortunately, it has aligned with those sectors that have seen some positive growth last year, like manufacturing and supply chain and logistics and business services. So it's well placed for that. So I think it's a two-pronged approach there, Josh.
And I suppose another area where Clare, in some ways, and we always like to speak about our success where we can, would be maybe ahead of other counties in some ways, is the digital hubs and those types of facilities. A lot of people here be familiar with the likes of Kilkee and Estamon, and you mentioned working from home there. And is that maybe something that could give an advantage to the jobs market in this sector over the coming months and years, obviously, as we see more and more roles come on stream that offer that hybrid working model, that there might be opportunities for workers in this county and in them kind of areas?
Well, look, I definitely think so, Josh. I think if we've learned anything from the last 2 years, is that changing and adapting how we work, and those companies and people and employers that have took all the positive learnings and have adapted to, whether it's flexible working, working from home, use of subsidizing digital hubs, you know, whatever that kind of hybrid model has been, they're definitely the companies that are striving, and even individuals in terms of, you know, when they're making that decision to where their next move is, they're real things that we all consider now that we maybe wouldn't have a couple of years ago. So I think, you know, being kind of forward thinking, like you mentioned there, the digital hubs is definitely a positive thing for attracting business to the Clare region.
I found it really interesting in terms of the figures and the sectors that had the largest in percentage terms growth in 2021. You have sectors like the financial services sector and pharmaceuticals, and I think it's generally accepted across the board that they've done okay in the last number of years and they're continuing to progress. But the largest rise in activity in your own analysis in 2021 was in retail, up 117%. And I just found that really interesting in the context of the last couple of years. Obviously retail, non-essential retail, the clothing side of things and things like that, were maybe some of the sectors aside from hospitality that nearly suffered the most during the pandemic, it could be argued. And yet there is quite an amount of growth and an apparent bounce back there.
No, yeah, there is. And there's real positive signs within the retail space. Initially, you know, they might have been starting from a little bit of a lower level in 2021, on 2020, in line with lockdowns and post lockdowns. But we've seen real positive growth within the retail space at all levels. Now, with the easing of the restrictions and retail, non-essential retail opening back up, it did build, there was pent up demand there. But it's like for like, we've seen that through a lot of different industries. But they've been very resilient on the retail front. And, you know, we would deal with companies in retail positions of all levels. And we're seeing really positive signs heading into 2022 as well.
We're hearing about that phrase, and I'm sure you've heard it plenty as well in the last few days and weeks, of the great resignation, and I suppose a bit of traffic, if you like, in terms of the jobs market, not just in Clare, but across the country. Does that ring true on the ground in terms of, obviously, January is obviously a common time of the year to look for a new role, etc. And I suppose people seeing these different sectors and the opportunities coming on stream would lend itself to that. But is that type of turnover something that you are seeing locally?
Yes, we would definitely see that. Like, obviously, we would engage with clients and candidates of all levels. So, you know, these are the stories that we're hearing on a daily basis. And, you know, this has been coming from a number of different factors. There was some cautiousness from the company side, you know, with the ups and downs of different lockdowns and restrictions. So, but with the stability of last year in terms of on the on economy level and even with their own business, there's gave some peace of mind there in terms of hiring and attracting talent into their business in line with their growth plans. So a lot of plans are back on track. But with that, there's movement within the candidate side, and it's a candidate competitive market. So, you know, our advice would definitely be to companies, look at your hiring plans, look at your retention plans, because it's just as important to, you know, to keep your teams there with the key skills. And, you know, that's what will be the challenge for employers, because with that type of movement within a market, you know, some candidates could have been putting that decision on hold for a number of months, that are now looking. With that comes salary pressure as well. So look, it's a really positive story that we're seeing such growth and stability and, you know, that sustained growth into 2022. But with that, it does definitely bring its hiring challenges for employers.
And with that said, I know in the report itself that you're envisaging further growth, not just in Clare, mm-hmm. but in a lot of other areas this year as well. What sectors do you foresee that growth in? Because I suppose we've spoken about the sectors that have seen good growth in 2021. And I mentioned retail there. And there's obviously the likes of IT, pharmaceutical, the financial sector. Do you see that being more of the same this year? Or are there any other sectors, whether it be the likes of hospitality, even hoping to see a pandemic bounce back or whatever it might be, that might come into the fold in terms of continued growth as well?
Yeah, well, you know, you've hit on the key sectors there where we would envisage continued growth. So that is within the IT space, it's continuing to be a booming sector. Also within healthcare, construction, and within the life sciences and engineering side. But yeah, look, to hit on the hospitality point, you know, we see positive signs for hospitality. You know, fingers crossed with imminent decisions being made in terms of you know, restrictions being lifted and getting back to that normal business as usual within the hospitality space. Again, there will be a lot of pent up demand within hospitality, and we're seeing that a lot from talking to candidates and even clients in particular with our sister company, Get the Shifts. I'm not sure if you know them, Josh, but they work within the hospitality space, supplying staff to hospitality employers across the country. And they're feeling that pinch on the staff side already. We were seeing real positive signs towards the end of last year. And it's likely for that to pick up again this year.
Fingers crossed it does, and hopefully a continued growth across all sectors in Clare and the rest of the country in 2022. Lynn McCormack, General Manager of FRS Recruitment, thanks very much for speaking to me on Clare Means Business.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for having me, Josh.
I think it's safe to say a big bounce back from most areas of the economy is now expected this year, and hopefully that will ring true and filter its way down to small businesses here in Clare, as well as lots of the larger enterprises, which are obviously so important as well. That's unfortunately, though, where time has beaten us on this week's edition of Clare Means Business. A reminder to continue shopping local where possible and to stay safe, and you'll hear from us again at the usual time next Friday.
You've been listening to an exclusive Clare FM podcast presented by Josh Prenderville. Log on each week to hear Clare Means Business.